Just out of curiosity, which camps are we going to do this summer?
Russia.
Pass.
Simcha.
Margulian.
Russia.
Okay. Which one?
They can.
Which camp are you guys going to this summer? Which camp? They can? Which camp are you going to? Moshe Rabbeinu, which one? I had the privilege of being in camp and still continue to go to camp, maybe not as a counselor, for close to about 20 years. And I want to say the following. I think you'll kind of will probably identify with this part, but I think it's certainly worthwhile to say for everybody that the Rosh Hashanah that I have, certainly the time that I spent 8 years in Camp Simcha, certainly during those years, even today, the Rosh Hashanah that I have, I'm only able to have it because of my experience in camp. And I think very often before I walk into camp, I say to myself, before I walk in, what are the goals of camp? And I think that the biggest goal that you have in camp is to be mashpia. And to the level of your hashpa, b'zot Hashem, that's how you come out. So the session here is about being a counselor. What is a counselor? What's a counselor, the goal sign? Do you need to be a counselor? You don't know? You can start working too. Okay, good. Be in charge of kids. What else? Be a role model. What else? A leader. Okay? What else? What's the main focus? To be a counselor.
Put a teacher.
Exactly. To be a machanech. Before I can give you what I'll do today is I'll really split up kind of this discussion talk. It's really more of a sikhah than a shir into two different parts. One, I'll frame it for you from a Torah perspective, and the other, I'll throw in some very quick, tips over the years that I've come together with. Okay, so before we start, turn over the page. It says, "Are you a leader? You have exactly 3 minutes to complete this. Go ahead. You may begin right now." Go ahead.
Fourth grade, we had a teacher give us a fake test.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. 3 minutes. You have 3 minutes. Forget the vision head. Forget that one. Go ahead. Come on. Come on. Come on. Okay, sit down, Rabose. Sit down.
I missed that.
Sit down.
Okay.
Daniel, what are you just doing now? What happened here? Rabosei. Read number 11. What were the instructions? Instructions were, read all the instructions carefully before doing anything. So if you would have done number 1, you would have seen that in number 11, you only had to do number 6 and number 10. So why did I just give this to you? What was the purpose of that little exercise?
It's
amusing. It is amusing. And usually if you haven't done this exercise before, 100% of the time, people usually go through one by one. They do all these things. So why did I do that?
Because
okay, stop.
Show us why you have a page.
Why? Yeah, that's for sure. Because in camp, you're going to be giving directions. Camp, you are the role model. You're the one who's sitting in front of children, whether they're sick, whether they're healthy, whether they're small or young, and you tell them what to do. So in order for you to be able to tell somebody what to do, you have to know yourself how to hear and how to understand the directions. That's a little tip. It's not a psychological mind game. It's a tip. The way in which you frame what you tell others and the clarity that you have is very important. So to be a counselor is you have to be mechanech. And I think to frame it for you from a Jewish kind of hashkafa, there are two things that I've seen that make amazing, amazing counselors. If you follow these two things, I think you'll be in a good place. The first one is, writes Rav Shlomo Volbe, on the first page. The first is Dugmai Sheet. You have to be a role model. And here he's talking to be Mechanchem, and I'll read to you very quickly. Dugmai Sheet, as Tayuva Gadol Shalarim, he's talking to parents, Udashamish Dugmai. You have to be a role model, whether you're a parent, a teacher, a Mechanech, a counselor. Kol Yeled Rotze Beofen Tivi, Lehizdahot Im Horav, Velachotetan. And every single child wants to identify with his parents, with leaders, with counselors, and to be modeled by them. Ima dugmah shem or im hitova. And if in fact what they do is something which is positive, which is very good, vayachas shebein harim vayeled huyachas beri. And the relationship that you as counselors or he's teaching, he's talking about the parents, that you as counselors will have with your kids, with your campers, is a positive one. Yachas tivavi v'cham, it's warm. Azad ofen tivi ayelad yetzel liyot kmo aviv shelo vayadat yetzel liyot kmo ima. Then you'll see that the campers that you'll have, that they want to be like you. Because they'll understand that what you have is something which is very positive, something which is very warm. Echad, nitareh chenuch ha-chashivim shetereh hu adugmai shi. The most important, one of the most important priorities that you have as a mechanech, as a counselor, is dugmai shi, is to be a role model. Why? Why is that? Why is that, Rabbi Bosei? Why is that so important? Why is Dugmai Sheet so important? Why is he right here? He's writing this, by the way, in a sefer that he has written. And I think there's more than 1,000 books have been published and sold already. He's writing, it says, the sefer is called Chinuch Zriya Obinyan Chinuch. This is the introduction of the sefer. He says Dugmai Sheet. Why? Why does he say that?
It's one thing to tell somebody how to act and give them advice. It's another thing to show them how to do it.
Right. Exactly. 100%. The what?
To lead by example.
But what does that mean?
They're not going to want to do it unless they see you do.
Okay, and that's very important. There's a great psychological, as I mentioned, psychologist, a great psychological experiment that was done years ago in social psychology. And what they did is they showed a bunch of kids a movie about how to interact with a dog. And they basically took a baseline. Basically, during this movie, they had other kids who, they told other kids, go hit this dog. And they showed it in front of a lot of kids. So they showed this movie, and the kids watched somebody hitting a doll. And then later on, after the movie, they put them in a room with a bunch of these dolls. Now, half of the group got to watch the movie, half of the group did not get to watch the movie. The kids who watched the movie, and they saw somebody hitting the doll, when they went into this room with all the toys, all the kids went to the dolls and began hitting them. But the group who did not watch this movie, when they went to the room with all these dolls, it was kilu, nothing happened. They just interacted with the dolls like they would interact with any other toy. That's the power of Dugmai Sheet. That's the power of role modeling. I remember many years ago, Golda told us this amazing story. He said, you know, one of his talmidim went over to him and said, you know, I don't understand. I want my son to be a to learn Torah. I understand why does he bother with watching TV, watching videos, going out? So Rav Govel said to him, well, what is it that you do? You as the parent, what do you do? So if you're a role model for things, either to learn or to at least to have a balanced life, then your children will pick up in the same ways. And the first thing I kind of want to share with you is you go to camp, is you have to be a role model. And the most important thing you need to know is that the children, the campers that you're with, they watch you like a hawk. And they see every single move that you make. Whether you make a bracha, whether you, how you speak to other people, if you wash your hands, if you bench, if you learn, how you interact with them, how you dress, they watch you like a hawk. And even though if you have teens, you know, they'll make it like they don't care about you, at the end of the day, they do care about you. And more likely than not, they're going to model the ways that you behave as long as you can. So one fundamental issue about being a great counselor is to have Dugmai Sheet, to be a role model. The other is what he calls hasbara. Hasbara in Hebrew really means explanation, but I think that a nicer way of saying it is really communication. Okay, this is what he writes. B'malach yigdolo shel hayeled tzricha liyot hasbara. As the child grows up, There has to be hasbara, there has to be communication. Hasbara shel emunah shel mitzvot v'atorah. We have to communicate exactly about the mitzvot, about emunah, about belief. Mutel chobah ala rim lasbir leladim, lo lachshov shayel ketam midai, yalav lekem to the rim, b'li hasbaram klan. You can't think, and you shouldn't think, that when you're dealing with children, that they should know what is expected of them. Lav dafka, you have to communicate with them very, very clearly what the expectations are. Ha-hezber tzarich lavo b'sfatam u'bet'em b'ramah shelahem. And I underline it for you, because that's the most important piece here. And that is, when you communicate whatever it is that you tell over to the campers, it has to be done in such a way that it's b'sfatam, in their language, u'bet'em b'ramah shelahem, and on their level, and their degree. So obviously, if your campers are, let's say, third graders, fourth graders, you have to talk to them in a way that's appropriate for third or fourth graders. Not so high an ideal. And if your campers are teenagers, you have to talk to them in a way that's appropriate to them as well. In the camp setting, as a counselor, there are really three types of communication that you've been involved with. I didn't really photocopy here all the things that he wrote, but I'll kind of very briefly analyze it for you. The three types of communication are passivi, which is passive communication, aggressivi, aggressive communication, the assertivi, which is assertive communication. So passive communication is a person who comes into a situation and he's very passive. He doesn't have directed goals. He's very wishy-washy. Okay? He comes into a bunk situation and it doesn't really give him direction. So when you're coming into that type of situation, what's going to be the response? If you're wishy-washy, what's going to be the response from the kids? They're not going to be wishy-washy, but what? They're not going to have what? There's no clarity, no structure. Right? There's another type of mechanech. Mechanech is you. The other type of mechanech is someone comes and says, hey, you got to get up in the morning. You got to do this. Go to this pula. Go to this activity. Like receive me. Everything with force, with authority. This is who I am. You must do this. And you counsel. If you don't do this, we're going to report you to the division head. So if you have that type of communication, then what happens?
They hate you, guts.
Okay? Forget about tips. They hate you. So he says at the end, what's the correct hasbara to have? What's the right form of communication to have? Assertivity. What is assertivity? Assertivity is really taking both of these ideas and putting them into one. Someone who comes into any situation and has a very clear idea of what it is that they want. He's assertive. He knows what he wants, but he does more than that. He communicates what he wants in a very clear way. So that's kind of putting together for you in two main ideas. In this book that he has with Volpe, he basically says that the ultimate mechanech is a person who's able to take two sides. One which is tzmicha, natural growth, and the other which is binyan, which is foundations building, and putting them together and somehow making out this balance. And if you're able to do that, you become the ultimate mechanech. That is what the entire book is all about. You see the Ramchal in Mesilei Sharim writes the following thing, the first four words. Yesod ha-chasidut v'shorash ha-avodah. That is how it begins the entire Mesilei Sharim. You want to know how to get to the ultimate Shechina, which is the 49th level. You want to know how to get that? You have to begin with the first four words of the Ramchal. Yesod ha-chasidut. Yesod comes from the word of binyan. Foundations, directions, structure. Okay, there's a very strict way of doing things. But the shorish havadah. Shorish comes from what? What is the word shorish? It's root. It's growth. It's natural growth. If you want to get to know how to get the Shekhinah, you have to somehow balance these two ideas in your own individual growth. On the one hand, you have to know that the Torah is filled with structure, with halacha, with dinim, with mitzvos. It tells you exactly what you have to do. Shivim panim, but you have to go to one direction. That's the yesod. On the other hand, you have to know the shorish, the tzmicha. Everyone here is different. Chanech hadar api darko. Everyone's different. Everyone has their own individuality. That's where the shorish comes in. If there wasn't a shorish, we would all be the same. Kadosh Baruch Hu creates everyone different, humanistic. So that's how you get to the ultimate Shekhinah. You see, even in your own Shemona Esrei, what do we say? Yerushalayim Icha Barachamim Tashu V'Tishkan B'Docha. Why? Uvne Ota B'Kar B'Aminim Binyan B'Chisei Binyan B'Nei Building Structure. This is what we need in order to get to reach great heights. But on the other hand, Et Tzemach Dagrav Decha. You also have to have what's called natural growth. You have to allow for individual identity. And at the end, Etzmiach Keren Yeshua. If you're able to combine both of these ideas, on the one hand, to know that being a counselor, you have to give structure. Kids love structure. Okay? They yearn structure. If you're able to, on the one hand, give structure, but on the other hand, also to understand that everyone is different, and you combine those ideas, you'll be in a good place. He writes on the left side of the page, Im not nibla yelid litzmoach v'ligdol v'bli livnot oto. If you allow only for the individuality, okay? If you allow him only to grow, only to say what he wants, to let him do what he wants, but there's no structure, what happens at the end? Yotze per adam. You're gonna form to be a wild beast. You walk into the first day of your bunk. It's the most crucial day that you have. Whether you're dealing with kids who are disabled, whether you're dealing with kids who have cancer, whether you're dealing with little kids or older kids. The first time you meet your campers, that's going to be the moment. If you allow them, litzmoach v'ligdol, mi b'li livnot otam, if you allow them to say, guys, I'm your best buddy, I'm your friend, whatever you want, it's fine by me. Don't worry about the division, and I'll take care, I'll watch your back for you. You know what's going to happen at the end? Yotze per adam. You're creating wild beasts. Now you're able to control them. Im bonim et hayelid mi b'li litaches el koach hatzimcha shelo, osim imenu robot. On the other hand, he says, If you just give structure, just rules, this is what you have to do, this is what's expected, but you don't understand. What about the individuality? Where's the growth coming here? Is it going to happen? You're forming a robot. There's no individuality here. No one's themselves. Therefore, he writes, at Siruv Sheshna Dvarim Yachad, Shel Koach Atzmicha Omasya Binyan Zeachinoch. That's what Chinuch is all about. You have to take both of these concepts and put them together. I owe you one other piece of Gemara here that speaks to me very much, certainly as a father, as a parent, but I think is very shaykh for you as well. And it's written in Masechta Sukkah the following thing. It's in a Braita Tana Rabban, Katan Hayudea Lenanea Chaya B'lulav. If you have a child and he has the knowledge base of how to shake a lulav, so you have to give him a lulav to shake. Litatef Chaya B'tzitzis. And if a katan knows how to put on tzitzis, then you have to give him tzitzis. Lishmor tefillin. So if a nar knows how to keep the purity of tefillin and not to make a tamei, aviv lokeach lo tefillin. Yodea ledaver. If a katan knows how to speak, aviv lomdo Torah v'kriyat shema. So what this teaches you is that not only do you have to have smicha binyan, not only do you have to give structure, and you have to give also allow for individual growth. You have to understand that each child is on their own. It doesn't say katan begil sheva. It doesn't say katan begil eser. It says katan. Every katan can be at his own place. If he knows how to shake a lulav, take him to shake. If he knows how to talk, so teach him Torah. But what if they don't? So then don't. And it's very clear. That's the expectation. Each one according to their abilities. Okay, so now I'm just going to throw a bunch of little tidbits at you. Look at responsibility. Okay, so we have a taker for a reader. Go for it.
This is a story about four people. Everybody is invited, somebody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was asked to do it. Everybody was sure somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when actually nobody asked anybody.
What's the point of this poem?
Communication.
One. What else? What else?
It's mind games.
Yeah, do something.
It's mind games. Again, you're going back to that. That's not the point of this game. But it is a mind game. What's the point of this point?
Take initiative.
Okay? What else?
Responsibility.
If there's something to do, gotta do it. That's part of your position. That's part of what the Gemara is all about. You want to be a role model? If there's something to do, you have to go and do it. And if you don't do it, what's going to happen? No one's going to get to it. I'll say a short thing. Maybe I should have said it beforehand. Talking about Dugma Ishi. I was sitting in the back there, and Rav Michel Judah was speaking here, and I was shepping nachas. I shared with you something very personal. I lost my brother about 3 years ago. He was very involved with Chesed, and his first yortzeit was, it was coming on, and we were looking for a speaker, what to do. And I said, how am I going to find the right person? I don't want just Stam or Rav to get up there, doesn't know my brother, or doesn't know what Chesed is all about, and to speak. It's not going to be worthwhile for me. So I don't want to, at that time I was learning more common. I don't want just Stam to make a Siyam and not to speak about this aspect of Chesed. And I knew of Judy before, and I said, the best person to really do justice for the first year, was really Judah. I went to Judah, I said to him, I've known you for a long while, would you be able to speak? And of course he said 100% yes. We spoke that night about Inyan Shel Chesed. And the reason why I chose him is because that's who Rav Judah is. Rav Judah, everything that he does, he said, everything that he did today, he said, Emes. How many Rebbeim will you know that come here to give a Musa Shmuz, but they'll say, I watch planet Earth. It's Emes. It's true. And the Chesed that he spoke about, that's who he was. As a parent, he takes his kids, the people were knocking down his door Fridays, and Beit Shemesh, a lot of guys come Friday afternoon, they want food, whatever, for Shabbos. He's telling me, and I said this with my own eyes, he takes his kids to the supermarket, and they buy, two spaghetti, whatever they do, and he tells his kids, now you have to go buy something for an ani that we're going to give out Friday afternoon. That's Dugmai Sheik. That's what it's all about. So talk about responsibility, just kind of putting it together. Responsibility is, if you're taking on the role as an Eved Hashem that he spoke about, as a counselor, then Dugma Ishit is responsibility, do it. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. Do it. And then if you do it, then you carry on the Ketzer. Since you spoke to me about my gift, I have a gift for everybody. I'm going to give everybody, you can keep this, it's a round to it, it's going to be 120. Go ahead, please read it.
I don't read well. Okay. So a round to it. Okay, this is a to it. Garner with your life as tuits are hard to come by, especially round ones, and especially at camp. This is an indispensable item, just like a cold can of Coke on a hot summer camp afternoon. It will help you become a much more efficient person. For years we have heard people say, I'll do it as soon as I get around to it. This is cute. And now that you have one, you can accomplish all those things are going to make camp a really great experience for you and your campers. You finally got around to it.
So this is a round to it. What's the message behind this stupid, idiotic, psychological mind game that you're doing? Okay? Because everybody says in camp, can you take this out? Can you take this kid out? Can you clean up the bunk? Can you do this? People say, when I get around to it.
That's initiative.
Yeah, no initiative.
Exactly.
Excellent. Well, maybe this is the future. So we're both sides. Here's a round to it. Take it, enjoy it. Okay. Finally, I put together for you the Saras Adibros of what it means to be a good counselor at camp. So let's go over them. The first one is that shall think before acting. By the way, where do we know this from? That shall think before acting. This is what it is. Think before acting. You should always see, why is this important?
In a camp situation, something
stupid. Exactly. So you don't do something, because sometimes when you get to camp, there's a lot of pressure, there's a lot of stress. You have kids to impress, you have parents who want to get the tips from you. There's a lot of things going on. First and most important thing, just to get in the real sense of the first thing is Anochi Hashem. As a camper, as a counselor, think before you do anything. Because there are going to be consequences for everything that you do. I'm sure that you will do something like this over camp. A number of years ago, there was a law that was instituted, certainly in Pennsylvania, and I think in certain places in New York as well, that every camp who wanted to get insured, and every camp must have insurance for their staff and their campers, They have to go through a training. Today, the biggest and hottest, biggest issues that we know of are issues of abuse that take place in camps. And they do take place in camps. And I think, I don't know if Morashad does this, certainly Lavi does it every year. They bring in an insurance guy, and he speaks about abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. He speaks about all these things. So it was a camp. I was in Moshe Ba 15 years ago. Okay? And there was one kid who basically jumped on his division head. And the division head wasn't expecting it. And he couldn't take this picture anymore. Like, he had enough of this guy. So you know what the division head did? He turned around and he whacked the kid. Well, the kid went, got, in those days there weren't cell phones. Okay, not that old, but in those days they went on a public phone, called up his parents. 2 hours later, police came and arrested the division head. The police came to the camp in Ennismore and arrested this guy. Thou shalt think before you act. Just a little thing. Okay, number two. We already spoke about this. Who wants to read? Go ahead, number two.
Thou shalt be an excellent example to buy a sheet for your campers.
We spoke about it. Okay, so I'm not going to give any more. Thing. Okay, number three. Go ahead.
Thou shalt know where to go for assistance.
Why is that important?
Because if you have a question you don't know what to do, you need to know.
Okay, really there's two things that we just want to stress out here. Thou shalt know, to know, you have to know where to go for assistance means two things. One,
all the answers.
The most important thing that you are there for in camp is to provide safety. Okay, so I'll speak about, first of all, the camps that you're taking care of with special children. You know, unfortunately, both of the camps, both Hask and Simcha, there have been deaths. Certainly there have been, kids have been injured. The most important thing that you need to know is when you get to camp, and I'm sure the camp will do this to you also, is that know how to get medical help. And the second thing that I want to talk about in terms of assistance is, it's okay to say, I don't know. It's okay to say, I don't know everything. So who should I go to help me, you know, either assist me with kids or information. Okay, number four. Number four. Go ahead.
Thou shalt speak to one of your mothers, staff as well as you.
What do we know this from? Ezu Chacham? Okay, why is that important? What could we possibly learn from our campers? Come on. What can we learn from our campers? What's one thing that we can learn from our campers? Nobody yet. Everyone's quiet now? You can't think of one thing?
The more you pay attention to them, the more you know how to help them.
Okay, so great. Excellent. What else? I don't know the answer to that question. When you go to camp, you have to figure out who your campers are.
You have to learn okay? What kind of sports they like.
Yeah, but you have to come with an attitude that I can learn. I can learn from my peers, from my friends, from my division heads, my head counselors, but I can also learn from my campers. Because it puts you in a very good place. Okay, number five.
Thou shalt know thyself and your limits.
Why?
Shouldn't
be effort to be asked for help. What else? Why is it important to know your limits? Okay, I think you kind of heard Rav Nissel spoke about it also today. Spoke about setting up stages. Why is that important?
There's certain things that you can do. There's certain things you can't do, and to be able to know that is crucial, because if there's something that you can't do, then if you're trying to mess it up, or it's not going to go, you know, the right outcome is not going to come out. So then you go somewhere else and just.
Okay, excellent. And I'll just say, just in terms of. There's been a message here over the past number of days, certainly today and yesterday. The message was that you have to set up goals for yourself. You have to, you know, make sure you're an Eved Hashem, but you also have to know what your limits are. You have to know that it, you know, if you're not the type of person that can take on 5 hours of Gemara when you first get off the airport, if that's the goal for yourself and you're not able to do that goal, then chaval, then you won't do anything. So Rav Nissel spoke about setting up like minimal goals. That's part of what this is about. Number six.
Thou shalt have confidence in yourself and be prepared to make mistakes.
What's that about?
Everybody makes mistakes.
You have to make decisions and they might not always be the right ones.
But you have to do it with emunah. You have to know, you have to trust yourself that, hey, I'm going to do this and we try to do the best that I can. Excellent. Number seven.
Thou shalt acquire the skills and know-how for any
any specific job that they are responsible for.
Okay. If you're asked to do something specific in camp, whether you're a counselor doing a ropes or taking kids to the gam, I don't know if you go to Hask and you ask the kids showers or whatever it is that you ask to do, you have to know. Do you have the skills to do it? And if you don't have the skills to do it, you've got to make sure you can get them. Number 8, thou shalt set up good communication. Rabosai, if you look at the word communication, how many C's do you find? If you look at N's, how many N's do you find?
Two.
O's.
Two.
N's.
Three.
I's. Two. 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 That's what you get. Communication. Why? It takes two to communicate. Okay. You want to set up good communication, you want to have a relationship with somebody, don't always be the talker and don't always be the listener. You have to know that it takes two to communicate. You have to build a road that two people can travel. Sometimes it's important to listen, and sometimes it's also important to express. Number 9. Go ahead.
Thou shalt not spread themselves too thin with excessive responsibilities.
Okay, pretty self-explanatory. And number 10, what's the stamp?
Thou shalt develop good human relations with campers, camp staff, and administration.
Okay, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. You gotta be a mensch. Okay, you gotta be a mensch, and you gotta make sure that everybody understands it. We spoke about it also earlier today. You wear a keti here that says Ben Torah. It might not say Torah Shraga on it, but it certainly says Ben Torah. Hopefully it will say Torah Shraga. So at the end of the day, everyone's going to look at you and see how does he behave? How does he relate to people? How does he talk? How does he speak? How does he act? So putting it all together for you, I think that you have an awesome, awesome responsibility for the summer. You have to be mashpia for kids. Your job is to be mechanech. And the way to do that, first and foremost, is to be a Dugmai Sheik. You have to be a role model, and you have to know the children always look at you. And if you want, as we said before, and if you want to, as a mechanech, you have to communicate. The manner in which you communicate can very much be the manner in which people will respond to you. So if you communicate in a way that's assertive, that's clear, that's precise, then people will understand that. If you communicate in the other ways that we spoke about, either in a passive way, an aggressive way, then you're going to create chaos. We also spoke about the concept of binyan and smicha. So while kids thirst for structure and structure is very important, structure without individual growth is a terrible thing and vice versa. The most important thing, the best counselor, the best mechanic is someone who can balance those two things. If you look at your year this year, and the Rebbeim who had the most hashpa on you, I will bet that you will see that those Rebbeim balanced very well not only your individual kochos, which is the tzmicha, but also the binyan, giving you advice and counsel that was appropriate. Shkoach, and have a wonderful summer.